Wanted to talk to you tonight with these, the 5 and 4 year old. I have gotten to see a certain video, since they came, probably about 15 times. So they're very fond of the movie Cars. Have you guys all seen Cars? All right. So tonight I am drawing spiritual truth from the movie Cars. All right. Because I have seen it many, many times now. And thankfully it does not annoy me yet. I've actually enjoyed it. So let's roll our first section of footage. And then we'll talk about the spiritual truth.
One lap to go, and Lightning McQueen has a huge lead.
Oh, he's got it in the bag. Call in the dogs, put out the fire. We're going to crown us a new champion. Checkered flag, here I come. Oh, no! McQueen has blown a tire!
And with only one turn to go, can he make it?
You fool!
Turn three.
Come on. I don't believe what I'm watching, Bob. Lightning McQueen is 100 feet from his piston gun.
The King and Chick rounding turn four.
And down the stretch they come, and it's
too close to call.
I don't believe it.
Unbelievable ending in the history of the world! And we don't even know who won!
Hey, no cameras! Get out of here!
We're here in Victory Lane awaiting the race results. McQueen, that was quite a risky move not taking tires.
Tell me about it.
Are you sorry you didn't have a crew chief out there?
Oh, Corey, there's a lot more to racing than just winning. I mean, taking the race by a full lap? Where's the entertainment in that? No, I wanted to give the folks a little sizzle.
Sizzle?
And am I sure I don't have a crew chief? No, I'm not, because I'm a one-man show.
What? Oh, yeah, right.
That was a very confident Lightning McQueen coming to you live.
All right. From this, let's look at Philippians 2, verse 14 and 14 through 16. In everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing, so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of crooked and perverse people. Let your life shine brightly before them. Hold tightly to the word of life so that when Christ returns, I would be proud that I did not lose the race and that my work was not useless. In that segment there, and you kind of missed it from the beginning because we didn't have the volume worked out, he's arguing. He's fired 3 crew chiefs. He decides he can do it all himself. We can't. Paul is addressing in Philippians here, we need to stay away from those who complain and argue all the time. Do you guys know somebody who complains all the time? How about somebody who argues all the time? Don't point at anybody. How much fun is it to be around somebody like that? Do you like it? No. But how easy is it to join in when somebody's doing that? I mean, when somebody comes up and starts complaining about somebody, what's your natural reaction? Unless it's somebody you just adore, what do? Tape recorder, yeah. You go along with it. You start joining in. You start complaining also. And maybe you don't even have any real problems with the person or with what was going on. But you hear somebody else complaining, so you start going right down that same road. And when it's all said and done, how do you feel? I don't know about you, but when I've gotten into those situations afterwards, I'm like, I shouldn't have said that. I don't even have a problem with that person. But somebody planted the seed and started rolling down that way, and we have to be careful to protect our hearts from people who like to complain. Now, some of it's just personality. Some personalities tend to be complaining personalities, okay? Sometimes you're just in a bad mood. Anybody ever been in a bad mood? Yes. Believe me, in the last 2 weeks, I've been in lots of bad moods. Not because they've been necessarily bad kids, but I've been tired. You'd think of the kids, you know, we've had Brian since November. He'd be the easiest one to deal with right now. He's the one who can't sleep. He's waking up 3 and 4 times a night, sometimes more. And I don't know about you, when I don't get a lot of sleep, I get grumpy. And it's, you know, sometimes I'm grumpy anyway, so I really don't need that help. And so we have to protect ourselves from being around somebody like that that's complaining or argumentative. Because it's so easy to be sucked in. It's so easy when somebody is being defiant or somebody is being sarcastic to you or making fun of you. How do you want to react? The exact same way back. You want to say, you know, start making fun of them, or especially if they call you some kind of name or tell somebody something about you that either was true or wasn't true, doesn't matter. And then you want to start saying stuff about them and making them feel the way that it made you feel. But we can't do that. Because can we control what other people do? No, we really can't. Even if you're really big and strong and can beat people really well, they're still going to talk about you. They're still going to think bad things about you. They may not say something to your face, but I don't know, I think it's better when somebody does say it to your face. At least then you know what's going on. So we have to protect ourselves. Paul says we need to do everything to stay away from the complaining and arguing. Why is that so important? How does that disqualify us? What's the next verse say? 15. Go back one. Go to Philippians, yeah. So that no one can speak a word of blame against you. How often are we able to go blameless? It's hard. Are we going to be perfect? No, but that's not an excuse for us not to try and let God work through us so that we can be as blameless as we can possibly be. You see, sometimes we can't deal with, you know, control what other people do. We really never can. But we can control how we react. And Paul was a guy who knew about people complaining against him. How many of you have read much about Paul in the New Testament? Do you think he would have been a real easy guy to get along with? No. No, I think he would have been a very hard person to get along with. His greatest spiritual gift was getting people ticked off at him. And, you know, that's not a spiritual gift I pray for regularly. We all seem to be able to do it on our own. But Paul had this great way of just rubbing people the wrong way. But you know what? Probably made people even more upset was when he did it, he was usually right. And so what's worse than somebody getting you upset, it's when you realize that they're right. Doesn't that just stink? You get all upset and you want to be able to say, oh, they're an idiot. Oh, they're stupid. They don't know what they're doing. Does anybody else think those things? Thank you. But doesn't it just, it's so awful when you realize that they're right. And it's like, oh, not only can I not stand that person, but, you know, they're telling the truth. And so at that point, we have to decide what we're going to do. And what we need to do is change ourselves and to allow God to make those adjustments on us. Who's ever done any woodworking or metalworking? Anybody? I'm sure all you girls are really big into that. Do they still have shop class in junior high? Or high school at all? Did everybody have to take it? When I was in 7th and 8th grade, not that many years ago, most of you weren't born, so it doesn't matter. In 7th and 8th grade, we had no choice. You had to take all four classes. They had cooking, which I always liked because you know what goes along with cooking. Eating. So that was a great class. I loved that. Sewing, which had to do sewing. Had to make this cute little bag of some sort. I don't know. You can needle me about it later. I was hanging by a thread. It just seemed to be awful. Anyway. I got more. But we had to take that. That was not that exciting. But then we had to take drafting, which it's not like the NFL, you know, the draft, you get to pick players and stuff. It was this terrible drawing thing. And everybody know my drawing skills? Has anybody seen my handwriting? Let's just say I learned to type for a reason because it looks like a second grader's handwriting. So we had that, and then we had woodworking. So we had to go through, and basically they had one kid that did all the work, so I don't understand it all. But we had to make these wood airplanes, which they're not going to fly, so I really don't know the purpose there either, but they were decorative. It decorated, I think, my trash can later on. But you had to take sandpaper to sand it down. And somebody like Paul was like a real coarse sandpaper working, trying to rub off those rough spots. And you know, we're going to come across people that are like sandpaper. Some of them are doing it for the right reasons. And they're godly people, and they're doing it to make you even better. Because you know what? You're going to come against stuff that you don't like, but if you work your way through it, you'll be a better person. When you go through tough times, God can use those things to make you better, even if the whole intent wasn't good. But it's going to take some pain. Anybody ever get caught with either a sandpaper or a grinding wheel or something that against your skin? It hurts. It'll cause you to bleed. It'll cause you to think unnice things, unless you're really sanctified and you think very nice things when you're hurt. That's a great sign of you actually being good with God, is when something like that can happen and you don't think of something bad. It's a great test. Go on out today, slam your foot in the door. Just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. But we have to live our lives, it says, as clean and innocent. Where does it say that at? Yeah, you are to live clean and innocent lives as children of God. See, guys, we can blame everything on, you know, you always hear, well, we're living in such a bad day, and we're living, you know, there's just terrible people out there. That may, you know, that's true. There's a lot of bad stuff happening. But we have to live our lives and keep ourselves clean and keep ourselves pure and keep the junk off of us
so that we can be an example and let our light shine. How many of you guys have those on your lights in your rooms that have the little drop-down glass bulb things that always collect the bugs? I'm doing a great job of explaining this, but it's a piece of glass that goes underneath the bulb, and you kind of have to screw it on. Shade. It's kind of like a shade thing. But it collects all the bugs, and you'll see all these little dead critters sitting up there. Well, when we take that down, and it's kind of nasty to clean out, you know, especially if you're not a bug person, and you get that cleaned out, but you put it back up, and you can see better, and the light shines out better. Well, it's the same thing in our lives. Sometimes we get full of a bunch of junk and bugs, and maybe may not even be sinning, may not even be doing anything wrong in our life, but when you hang out in the world enough, you get dead bugs in your life, and you get things that kind of make it harder for you to shine your light. And when we do those things, we have to clean ourselves out sometimes. We have to take some time to pray. We have to take some time to read the Bible, just to kind of clear that junk out so that we can actually shine. Because you know what? We keep letting that stuff build up and build up. We're not shining anymore. And, you know, not that you need to go to, you know, have the complexion to where you look like, you know, somebody's stuck all that orange cream on you, like that suntan stuff that glows in the dark just about. Most of you here are pale enough to where it would be very obvious if you did that. Yeah. But, you know, it's not talking about a light that glows like that. But people should be able to tell that you're a Christian. And not because you're wearing a Christian t-shirt or because, you know, you do like what it says in Deuteronomy, like the Orthodox Jews do with the little box they put on their forehead with the scriptures written in it. That would look kind of funky, you know. Like to go to school with a little box on your forehead. You know, not that kind of stuff, but because the way you love each other. It says, they will know you by how you love each other. And we need to be able to treat people right. And that's how our light shines. By the love we show to those people around us, the love we show to non-Christians, we should not have to open our mouths so much about being a Christian as it just assume there's something different. Because how many of your friends at school treat you right all the time? Yeah. Of course. What? Thank you. Uh-huh. But we need to be able to treat people well enough around us that they can tell who we are and tell that we believe in a God who wants to treat other people right. And then lastly on this part, it says we are to hold tightly to the word of life. Guys, whatever way you get it, and I've said this many times, you've heard it many times, but you have to get the Bible into you. Whether it's reading, whether it's listening. And I've told you this before, I have it on my iPod, it downloads all the time, so I have a daily reading that I listen to. You have to find some way to get it in. Because what are you listening to every day? You may have the radio on, you have the TV on, you have your friends that you hang around. You're getting all sorts of other junk inside you. And you have to counteract that with the Word. Does Christian music help? Yeah. I mean, Christian music sometimes has some really good lyrics and some word in it that will help you. You at least hope it doesn't have anything bad, because, you know, when you read through some Christian music, is it incredibly theological and has all these wonderful Bible verses in it? Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes they're just fun songs. But somehow you have to counteract what's going into you. And the only way to do that is with the word, with Christian music, other stuff to help clean that out. On to clip number two.
Done?
Mm-hmm.
It's only been an hour.
I'm done. Look, I'm finished. Just say thank you and I'll be on my way. That's all you gotta say.
Woo-hoo! I'm the first one on the new road!
It looks awful.
Well, it matches the rest of the town.
Red! Who do you think you are?
Look, Doc said when I finish, I could go. That was the deal.
The deal was you fix the road, not make it worse. I'll scrape it off. Start over again.
Hey, look, Grandpa, I'm not a bulldozer. I'm a race car.
Oh, is that right? Then why don't we just have a little race? Me and you.
What?
Me and you. Is that a joke?
If you win, you go and I fix the road. If I win, you do the road my way.
Doc, what are you doing?
I don't mean to be rude here, Doc, but you probably go 0 to 60 in like, what, 3.5 years?
Well, then I reckon you ain't got nothing to worry about.
You know what, old-timer? That's a wonderful idea. Let's race.
Gentlemen, this will be a one-lap race. You will drive to Willie's Butte, go around Willie's Butte, and come back. There will be no bumping, no cheating, no spitting, no biting, no road raging, no maiming, no oil slicking, no pushing, no shoving, no backstabbing, no road hogging, and no lollygagging.
Speed, I'm speed. Float like a Cadillac, sting like a Beamer.
My friend Guido, he dreamed to give a real race car a pit stop.
Pit stop? The race is only one lap, guys. Uno lapo. Don't need any help. I work solo mio.
Fine. Race your way.
No pit stoppo. Comprendo?
Okay.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
Great idea, Doc. Now the road will never get done.
Luigi?
On your mark, get set. Uno for the morning, due for the show. Try to get ready, and quattro to... I can't move. Go! Huh? Doc, the flag means go. Remember the flag? Here we go. Go.
Doc? What are you doing, man?
Oh, dear. It would seem I'm off to a poor start. Well, better late than never. Come on, Mater. Might need a little help.
Okay.
You got your tow cable?
Oh, yeah, I always got my tow cable. Why?
Oh, just in case. Was that floating like a Cadillac, or was that stinging like a Beamer? I'm confused. You drive like you fix roads. Lousy. Have fun fishing, Mater.
I'm starting to think he knew you was gonna crash.
Thank you, Mater. Thank you.
I can make a little turn on...
First Corinthians 9:24 through 27 talks about preparing ourselves. Remember that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. You also must run in such a way that you will win. All athletes practice strict self-control. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. but we do it for an eternal prize, so I can run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I am not like a boxer who misses his punches. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself may be disqualified. We have to prepare ourselves. In this instance, you got Lightning McQueen, who thinks he knows it all, as we covered before. And he has to do something. He has to do this road. But he wants to take the shortcut. And he doesn't want to do it right. He wants to do it the quickest way possible so he can move on. Well, when we're going through things in our life, there are no shortcuts in life. We can think there's a shortcut, and we think we can go and cut through some area when we're going through a difficult time, as we talked before, but you can't. You have to go through it. God will help us through it. It'll be painful, like when he went through those cactus or cacti. You think you got the point? Anyway. But we have to go through with God. See, when we're going through our spiritual time, there isn't the shortcuts. We have to spend the time with God. We have to spend the time disciplining ourselves. How many of you like to get up early in the morning? Y'all weird. I hate getting up early. Yeah, all the energy drinks, all the coffee. Has anybody here ever seen me hyper? No. And I drink a lot of caffeine, and I drink a lot of stuff, and it just doesn't do nothing. So, but with discipline, by getting up to spend time in prayer, by getting up and just getting ourselves ready. How many of you wake up with a great attitude in the morning? Yeah, Tommy, is that true? Does Casey wake up with a great attitude? I know I don't wake up with a great attitude most of the time. I like to have my alone time. And I like to have my time just to be able to kind of get going slow. So I go downstairs. I get my coffee brewing. Usually while it's brewing, I'm having my espresso to really try to get things pumping and going. And just trying, you know, even by the time I get into the church, I'm usually just let me get to my office. I'll be okay, you know. It's about 10:30 when I finally start clicking to where I'm more than willing to talk to people, okay? With that in mind, I know not to try to go and have wonderful talk times early in the morning. So sometimes I struggle with prayer time first thing in the morning. Now, I try to do that just because one of a few things. Number one, having prayer time first thing in the morning, because if you don't do it then, a lot of times you don't do it. If you don't set that time aside. But then also, you have to start out your day. I found that spending that time in prayer and in some Bible, and like I said, I usually listen to it in the morning because I'm not quite in the mood yet to sit down and do this whole study time with a book. It helps me get my day going and getting a better attitude. Because, you know, people kind of expect a pastor, when they come in contact with him, even in the morning, to have some kind of decent attitude. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. But we have to prepare. How many of you run sports? Do any kind of sports? What do you guys have to do? You practice? You train? Does all your training involve what you do in your sport? Like, what's somebody do? What? Volleyball. All right, do you do a lot of running in practice? Yeah. So you have to be in shape, even though in volleyball, how much running do you do? Usually not a lot. Yeah. Yeah. You play on the church league and some people don't move at all. So, yeah. But you still have to prepare. And part of that preparation in volleyball is running. Some of it's practicing. What other sports do some of you do? Softball. Football. Cheerleading. Do you run in cheerleading? I just got to know. I was curious. I never did cheerleading. They didn't think me in one of those skirts would have really worked out all that great. But there's so much more. Sometimes we feel like all we need to do is the basics. But we have to be able to get ourselves in condition. And in condition, when you do sports, it's running, no matter what it is. It's doing things that allow you to react quicker, to get you prepared. Those of you who do sports, can you tell the difference when you've actually worked hard and prepared that week or for that game versus not? Yes. I mean, we had some of you were on my volleyball team this last year. And it could be shown that we didn't have many practices. But when we did have practice, we had two practices, I think, something like that, you could tell a difference. We were better because we had prepared ourselves. And it's the same thing in your lives. You guys have to prepare yourself. You have to go through some of those hard times. You have to go through those times where you feel like you're getting stretched. How many of you enjoy stretching? As in exercise stretching. Yeah, I'm not real limber, so you won't see me doing any of the Gumby moves. You know, I never would have been in gymnastics doing all that kind of stuff. But spiritually, we have to stretch ourselves, and we have to do more than what we're used to doing. So often, we just want to settle in and just stick in a comfort zone. Do you guys like to be comfortable? Like to do the kind of know what you're able to do, and you just kind of stay there? Don't try anything really harder or anything else. But somehow we have to find ways to stretch ourselves. Whether it be missions trips, whether it be just talking to your friends and trying to have an influence on them when sometimes you don't. I mean, I'll admit sometimes I'm not the person who automatically thinks about spiritual insights when I'm talking to somebody. You know, I have those times where God really, you know, kind of inspires me when I'm talking to somebody and I feel like I get some stuff. But sometimes I just talk to people and then I walk away and I'm like, oh, man, I just had a chance to say something and I just walked right through it. And we do that all the time, but we have to prepare ourselves. We have to be in training. And then I like what he says, that we have purpose in every step. God has a purpose for you guys. He has something special planned for you. And as a junior higher or as a senior higher, how special do you feel sometimes? Do you feel special all the time? Yes, you are. And very special. Oh, never mind. A lot of times we don't feel special. I mean, even... I don't know, how often do we each individually feel like we're something special? We have moments, but we have to keep working and thinking, God has a plan for my life. God has a purpose for me to be doing this, to be working through these things. And we just have to use that discipline and go on through, because nothing in life that's worth getting is that easy, is real easy. Nothing is. We don't expect it to be easy in sports, but we often expect it to be so easy spiritually, and that we don't have to work at it, that all we have to do is come to church on Sunday, come to church on Wednesday, and God, I'm here. Change me. What? He can't change you because you weren't prepared to be changed. When we come to our next revival, you know, God did great things at this last revival, but think how much more he could have done if everybody was prepared and ready for it. You see, revival is not the time that we should get our little spiritual fix so that we feel good. We should be worked up and ready to where when God comes in and visits us in an extra special way, we are ready to go beyond. And a lot of times we just have a hard time thinking that way spiritually. But God wants us to prepare ourselves and to be ready. And Paul, he talks all this about racing. He must have, you know, they obviously didn't have car racing back in Paul's day. But they had, you know, the Olympics with the running, and they had wrestling, and they had all sorts of other stuff. He was big into sports, and he understood that there has to be preparation spiritually for you to be ready to take on stuff, because you know what? Stuff's going to happen. You're going to have things happen in your life, and you're going to have somebody attack you. And it's not like you're going to get mugged walking out here or something, hopefully. But sometimes we get spiritually mugged. Somebody sneaks up on us and just grabs us and just beats the snot out of us. And we walk away after sometimes it's just words. We're like, wow. I feel like I just got beat up. But if we come in prepared, God will help in those times. He'll get us ready. We'll be able to do some sidestep. Who here has ever boxed or taken karate or anything? Is it fun to... whatever. I believe it. But don't you... isn't it neat when you see somebody coming at you with a punch and you can sidestep it? I don't know, because I'm not exactly a big fighter. My idea of fighting when I was in junior high, I was always larger than everybody else. So they'd start to fight me, or, you know, make something. I'd just kind of throw them into a wall and we'd be done. Everybody else, you know, when you're in junior high, everybody's down here. And then high school, everybody kind of caught up. And so, thankfully, I was a quiet person and didn't cause a lot of trouble, because then they were big enough to hurt me. But we have to be prepared. We have to be ready. And then also, we have to keep our eye on the prize. Keep our eye on the prize. Next clip, TJ.
Oh, Doc. Time to clean out the garage, buddy. Come on. What? He has a piston cup? Gosh, three piston cups?
Sign says stay up.
You have three piston cups. How could you?
You couldn't drive. I didn't know you couldn't read.
You're the Hudson Hornet.
Wait over it flows, like I told you.
Of course, I can't believe I didn't see it before. You're the fabulous Hudson Hornet. You still hold the record for most wins in a single season. Oh, we gotta talk. You gotta show me your tricks, please.
I already tried that.
I mean, you won the championship three times. Look at those trophies.
You look. All I see is a bunch of empty cups.
You see, Doc had taken his eye off the prize. His big thing had been racing, had been wanting to win and to do the thing that had been so passionate about. And then he got hurt. He got wrecked. Felt like nobody loved him anymore. And felt forgotten and walked away. And how often do we do that? We feel hurt. Somebody hurts us, says something to us that, you know, that old thing that said, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's a lie. We all know words hurt. And they usually hurt a whole lot worse than, you know, depending on what somebody throws at you. But physical pain is a whole lot easier to get over than emotional pain. Somebody saying something. Because what do you keep hearing? You hear in your mind what they said. And you keep it keeps replaying. And it keeps pulling that scab off that wound over and over again. And making it worse. But we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. You know, we can look at each other. But you know what? Each one of us is going to fail each other. If all we do is look at people, when we're trying to walk our Christian walk, we're going to be disappointed. We're going to have, people are going to let you down. Even if it's, you know, they just don't show up to something, or they don't get excited about something. Or maybe they go all the way and they turn against you and they say stupid stuff about you. Or they betray you, or they, who knows what else. People will let you down. You cannot trust people to always stand up for what's right. Now, are there people that you expect to be, you know, do the right thing? Yeah. There are people that you can look to as role models? Yeah. But the only person that is ever going to be always right is Jesus. He's not going to let you down. We may feel sometimes he does. How many of you heard that, seen that poem, Footprints? Some of you? It talks about, this, I'm trying to remember the exact thing, but when this guy is really low, he's looking back on his life and he sees two sets of footprints, him and Jesus walking in the sand. And he's in his low times, he realized there's only one set of footprints. So he just starts thinking, God, you abandoned me during those times. How could you, you know, just walk away and not be with me in those times when I really needed you? And then God says in the poem, you know, that's not what happened. It was in those times that I carried you. And God will. It's hard to feel sometimes like God is carrying you through something. But you have to believe, you have to have faith that God's going to get you through it. You know, there have been so many times in our life, and I know I've talked a lot about this lately because of our situations, but you know, we'd been wanting children for a long time. Now, I think we've been blessed to our potential right now, but we really wanted to have kids. And we've been married, it's going to be 14 years in July, and we hadn't been able to have children. And so we're like, God, you know, what is your purpose in this? Because we couldn't see it. You know, and usually when we're going through those hard times, we don't see the purpose. But then we got Brian, and he was a blessing. And then we've got, you know, Casey and Alex and Joe. And they're going to be a blessing. No, they are. They are good guys. And I love being a dad. It's a lot of fun. But we didn't see, even just 6 months ago, what God was doing. We've only had kids now since November. And, you know, we couldn't see through all that time what God wanted. But we kept trusting him because, as Peter said, what else are we to do? There is no other way. See, guys, sometimes we get all caught up in thinking we can go do something on our own or we can do that. But once you know, really know the truth about God, you can't go back. There's nothing else to go to. You got one option, and that's to follow God and to follow him with everything. even when it hurts, even when it's not fun, even when you don't understand, because God does want the very best for you. He wants the best for each of us. And we're going to live a better life letting God guide those things than when we try to take things into our own hands. Because what do we almost always do when we take control of our life? We screw it up. We may get one part that we think is so wonderful, and everything else crumbles. Where God can build it all on a good foundation. We have to, it talks here, keep our eye on the prize, which involves getting rid of stuff that distracts us. Is everything that distracts us wrong? No. But there are things that distract us from God. There are people that distract us from God. And they may not be bad people, may not be bad things, but we have to decide what comes first. Is it following God and going after Him 100%? Or is it following Him 50% and just kind of, taking in other stuff and getting distracted, getting weighed down, and before long we wouldn't even be following God 50%. How many of you were in track? Anybody? A couple of you? When you run track, would you want to run with a flak jacket on? Do you know what a flak jacket is? It's one of those like bulletproof vests that weigh like 20 pounds or something. So often we keep all this baggage on us. We try to run with a suitcase. That would be fun, wouldn't it? And we want to keep all this stuff, and we try to run with it, but all it does is slow us down and wear us out, and it doesn't help us get to where we're going. Sometimes we have to drop things. Sometimes we have to even drop people that may be distracting us from God, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, which very often can be distracting. Don't drop your wife, even though she's distracting, right? Don't do it. All right. Anyway, many sarcastic comments are coming to mind, but I'm going to be good. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus and let God be our sole focus, because it's too easy to get distracted. It's too easy to walk away and to let other things become important in our lives. And lastly, our last point is going to be, it's a team effort. Let's look at this last clip.
I knew you needed a crew chief, but I didn't know it was this bad.
I thought you said you'd never come back.
Well, I really didn't have a choice. Mater didn't get to say goodbye.
Goodbye! Okay, I'm good.
All right, if you can drive as good as you can fix a road, then you can win this race with your eyes shut. Now get back out there. Hot snot, we are back in business. Guido, Luigi, you're going up against professional pit crews, boys. You're going to have to be fast.
They will not know what beat them.
Kid,
you can beat these guys. Find the groove that works for you and get that lap back.
Is that him? That's him.
Is that... That's the Hudson Hornet! Bob, Daryl, the Hudson Hornet's back!
Daryl, it appears McQueen has got himself a pit crew, and look who he has for a crew chief.
Whoa, look, man, it's the Hudson Hornet.
Whoa!
With that man axle grease, call me slick. It surely is.
Wow, this is history in the making. Nobody has seen the racing legend in over 50 years.
Hey, Doc, come look at this fellow on the radio. He looks just like you.
McQueen passes them on the inside.
But he's still nearly a lap down.
Can he catch up to them with only 60 laps to go?
You're going great, kid. Just keep your head on.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Hey, Shrippy. Where did McQueen find you, huh?
those round things are called tires, and they go under the car.
No.
You will have your chance, Guido. You will have your chance.
Kid's just trying to be a hero, huh? But what do you think of this? Yeah, that's it, kid.
What?
Whoa!
Get it in! I taught him that. Ka-chow!
What a move by McQueen. He's caught up to the leaders.
Oh, yeah. This is what it's all about. A three-way battle for the lead with 10 to go.
Can you get back to the pits?
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, got a yellow. Bring it in. Don't tear yourself up, kid.
We gotta get him back up there fast, or we're gonna be a lap down and we'll never win this race.
Guido, it's time.
Hey, Tiny, you gonna clean his windshield?
Was the fastest pit stop I've ever seen.
It was a great stop, but he's still got to beat that pace car out.
It's going to be close.
Yay! He's back in the race.
Pit stop.
This is it. We're heading into the final lap, and McQueen is right behind the leaders. What a comeback!
199 laps, and baby, it all comes down to this!
This is it, kiddo.
You got four turns left, one at a time. Drive it in deep, and hope it sticks. Go!
McQueen's going inside! Chick and the King are loose!
I think McQueen is out of the race!
McQueen saved! He's back on the track!
Float like a Cadillac,
sting like a beaver!
I forgot, there's one more point after this, so we'll get to finish it off. Philippians 3, 9 through 14 says this, I no longer count on my own goodness or my ability to obey God's law, but I trust Christ to save me. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. As a result, I can really know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I can learn what it means to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that somehow I can experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, or that I have already reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers and sisters, I am still not all I should be. But I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us up to heaven. We can't do it alone, guys. We try to do things on our own. We try to live our Christian walk on our own. And all we do is we fall short. We need to have people around us that believe like we believe, that will help us. See, there's some great things about American culture, but one of the hard things, or things that sometimes makes our spiritual life more difficult, is we like to be such individuals. And sometimes we don't like to rely on other people. We don't like to depend on others. We feel like we can do it better on our own. And we can't. We have to have a team. Just like Lightning McQueen could not win the Piston Cup on his own with no crew chief, with no pit crew, we have to have those people in our lives to help fix us when we're down, to help guide us and help us see things that we can't see. How many of us like to listen to advice and obey advice? Yeah, we don't. We think, what do they know? You know, when we ask for advice, how often are we just asking for somebody to tell us what we want to hear? That what we're thinking is right? A lot of times we do. When we're looking for advice, we just want somebody to confirm to us that we're doing the right thing. But how often when we get that advice and we don't like it, we have to think, are they right? We have to pray, and we have to, you know, sometimes it's really hard to come to terms and agree that they're right and that we need to change what we're doing. And just like Lightning didn't like having somebody tell him what to do, which is what his crew chief was doing, he needed it to be successful because other people have gone before us. You know, other people have dealt with issues that maybe we're dealing with now, and they can lend some good advice to it after seeing how they got through it, or maybe the mistakes they made. But so often, we just end up making our own mistakes instead of listening. And it's hard. It really is hard a lot of times to listen to somebody else because we think we've got it figured out. And we think our point of view is the right point of view. You know what? Sometimes we're right. But sometimes we're really looking at it from a very selfish side. Because what do we always want to have happen? What's best for us? And sometimes what's best for us isn't the right thing to happen. That's what's one of the things you guys will find out. You'll find out as you date, but as you get older, much older hopefully, and you get married, and you'll find out. You know why you have arguments? Because both people want what's best for them a lot of times. And you can't have it. Sometimes there's compromises. Sometimes one person wins and the other loses. But we so often want to be that selfish side, even when we don't realize it. We want things to be our way. Things can't always be our way. We always think we're right. Sometimes we're not. We have to have somebody that's willing to be around us to tell us the truth. And we know we can't make it to heaven on our own. We have to have Christ. None of us are good enough. None of us have earned our way into heaven because of how wonderful we are. You know, Mother Teresa didn't earn her way to heaven. Nobody can earn their way to heaven. They have to allow Jesus to take care of that. And it's just like the other stuff in our life that we have to listen to somebody else on. We have to trust people around us. And lastly, we win by finishing.
Lightning McQueen is going to win the Piston Cup!
Come on, you've got it, Stickers!
I am not coming in behind you again, old man!
Doc?
What are you doing, kid?
I think the king should finish his last race.
just gave up the piston cup. You know then?
Ah, this grumpy old race car I know once told me something.
It's just an empty cup.
Darryl, is pushing on the last lap legal?
Hey, man, he's not really pushing him. He's just giving him a little bump draft.
Hey, what? What's going on?
That's what I call racing right there.
Way to go, buddy!
There's a lot of love out there, you know, man.
Don't embarrass me, Fillmore.
That's my hot rod.
Come on, baby, bring it out! Bring out the piston cup! Ka-chika, ka-chika! Yeah! Now that's what I'm talking about! Hey, how come the only one celebrating is me, huh? Where are the girls? Bring on the confetti! Ow! Ow! Easy with the confetti. What's going on? Come on, snap some pictures. I gotta go sign my deal with Dynaco. Ka-chika, stay with me. Ka-chika, ka-chika. What's wrong with everybody? Ow! Where's the happiness? Hey, this is the start of the chick era.
Thanks, Lightning.
You're welcome.
Congrats on the loss, me bucko.
You got a lot of stuff, kid.
Thanks, Doc.
Hey, Lyden.
Second Timothy 4, 1 through 7 says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that great day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his glorious return. You have to finish. We get so excited about starting, we think we have these big boosts, but you have to continue on with the race for your entire life. This isn't some sprint, it's not a short-term run, it's for your eternal life. You have to remain faithful. You have to be able to continue on. And sometimes that involves being selfless instead of selfish. It's like Lightning turned and helped somebody else. We have to help those around us. Instead of being so worried about ourselves sometimes, we need to look around and think, who can I help? Who do I see that's struggling in their life that I can give them some kind of aid, either just by listening, by letting them know somebody cares, by helping them through tough times? We have to look around and not just be so focused and so worried about ourselves and whether we're getting fed, we're getting the things we like or the things we want, but that we're letting others and helping them into a life with Jesus and allowing them to see who God is and to help them finish. Because this isn't a game. It's not just, you know, the Christianity isn't some, oh, it just means we live a good life or do the right things. It's about eternity, guys. It's about heaven and hell. And we so often don't want to talk about hell or talk about all the bad stuff. And I'm by no means, you know, get into all the fire and damnation sermons and all that. But we have to realize that this isn't some game. We're not playing around. We are dealing with people's lives for eternity, and sometimes the things we say or we do will damage somebody for eternity because they won't let God heal those things. And we have to be careful. Be careful in what we do, as far as what we say, how we act, as far as what we don't do. But we have to try to live a life that shows others who Jesus is. That they can see more of Jesus than they can see of us. Because the more people see of us, the more they're going to see the bad stuff, and they're going to see the things, the inconsistencies. But if we can show them God, then they can see that there's so much more. And I encourage you guys tonight that you will let God work and flow through your life more. Lord, I just pray right now with these students. God, touch their hearts. Allow them to realize how serious of an issue this is and how much you want them to show others around them who you are. And God, just like Paul in these passages, how sometimes maybe he was rough, sometimes he was gruff and just really worked as sandpaper. Sometimes we have to do those things, but sometimes we also have to be that loving ear that we just let people talk. We help them through tough times, and we give advice, and we show them who you are, God. And Lord, I pray that you will just work in these teens, that you work in the adults, that we all show you and allow you to be reflected in us, God. Father, I thank you. Lord, if there is somebody here tonight that doesn't know you, I pray right now that they will just accept you as their Savior. Guys, all you have to do, you don't have to do any fancy prayer, you don't have to do anything, you know, uncomfortable. It's a matter of just speaking to God in your heart, Lord, I need you. And God, we do need you. We need you so much. Because you are the only way we are going to make it through our life. You're the only way we're going to be able to help others. And the only way that we're going to be able to spend eternity with you, Lord. We thank you, God. We praise you. Amen. If anybody needs special prayer, you're welcome to come to any youth staff member. We'd love to pray with you. Otherwise, we love you and hope you have a great week.